Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the podcast series Healthy Heart with Dr. Rohit Sani. I'm your host Dr. Aman Kapoor and I welcome you back to this podcast episode. Joining us again is the founder of Madhav Bagh, eminent preventive cardiologist, a person who has transformed the healthcare sector, especially in the field of reversing lifestyle diseases. I welcome Dr. Rohit Sani. Dr. Rohit Sani, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Aman.
Dr. Sani, we have been having a wonderful set of discussions across the podcast, various different topics. Now, one topic that questions that come directly from patients, a lot of questions come around, are about pumping capacity. Now, people say that my pumping capacity of the heart is low, my heart is, doctors told me it's only this many X percent or Y percent. So the question that I wanted to ask you today is regarding heart failure. I mean, as medical personnel, we know that it's talking about heart failure. But for a layman, what is heart failure and what is the pumping capacity all about?
Okay. So as the name suggests, pumping capacity means the strength or the force with which the heart pumps the blood out into all the blood vessels, all the arteries of your body, is what is called as the pumping fraction or pumping force or pumping strength of the heart. Usually, it is expected by a layman that it should be 100%, but normally it is not 100%. Heart doesn't eject out each and every ml of the blood that comes inside the heart. It keeps something for itself. So the ejection fraction usually is about 60 to 65% and it could range from 50 to 65% also. So anybody who gets a 2D echo done, and in the 2D echo, if at all they see that the EF, it is usually called as E for ejection, F for fraction. So that is the ejection fraction, that is the pumping power of the heart, if at all, if anybody gets a 2D echo done. And in that 2D echo, you find that the ejection fraction ranges from 50 to 65% for that individual. Then in that case, the ejection fraction for that person is absolutely normal. Now, normally when the heart doesn't receive good amount of blood supply, the reasons could be n number of reasons. It could be a heart attack, it could be a blockage, it could be a stenosis, it could be atheroma. There could be n number of reasons for which the blood supply reaching to the heart might not be sufficient. If the blood supply reaching to the heart is not sufficient since a long amount of time, gradually few muscles of the heart start dying. Either they die gradually or else they die at a instance, like for example in case of a heart attack. So in case of a heart attack, the person might get that stroke or that heart attack very instantly, which might lead to death of those cardiac muscles instantly. So either those cardiac muscles might die instantly or gradually. Whatever is the situation, when the force of contraction of the heart as these muscles are not working, the force of contraction of the heart gradually reduces down. Maybe earlier, which was about 50 to 65, it might drop down to 40, it might drop to 35, it might drop to 37. There could be n number of situations in which this heart ejection fraction drops down because of such kind of scenarios. So this death of these cardiac muscles usually lead to reduction in the pumping force of the heart. And because of this, if the heart is not able to pump the blood so as to commensurate with the requirements of the body, then in that case, this situation where the patient starts experiencing breathlessness on exertion, he starts developing swelling on his legs, the whole body gradually gets swollen. The patient is not even able to take breathing well in the sitting position or else in supine position. Also, lying down position also becomes much more worse for that individual. Then this scenario gradually goes up towards a situation called as heart failure.
Okay. So, yes.
Because of reduction in the ejection fraction, but many a times heart failure could be with the normal ejection fraction also.
Okay. So, Dr. Sahni, with respect to heart failure, you said that there could be muscle death that is contributing to it. It could be in heart attack also. So, as a common lay person who doesn't understand medical terminology much, for them, what is the difference between a heart attack and a heart failure?
Okay. There is a lot amount of difference. In fact, these two terminologies as well as these two situations are completely different. Like, for example, a heart attack could lead to heart failure. That means when the heart muscles are being under intense kind of pressure, intense kind of hunger for blood supply, and they did not get the required amount of blood supply. Hence, these muscles initially reduce down their function, and later on, because of hunger strike, all of them died. So that specific group of muscle of the heart, if at all, they have either jeopardized because of lack of blood supply, or else they have died because of zero blood supply. This is a situation as heart attack. Now, every heart attack doesn't lead to heart failure. So, if at all you see that in case of a heart attack, due to some or the other kind of intervention, either naturally or else actual intervention by the medical team, if at all the blood supply to the myocardium, to the heart muscle, is being recovered back towards normal, there are very less chances that the individual might enter into a situation called heart failure. So, heart failure usually follows a heart attack. So, heart attack and heart failure are two different scenarios. They follow each other, but not necessarily that every heart attack is supposed to be followed by a heart failure. So, heart attack is nothing else but a lack of blood supply to the heart muscle, which is seen of about 6 hours or so, in which in those 6 hours, the heart muscle will fight against that whole situation to draw that excess amount of blood supply towards it so that the heart muscle stays alive. But in this whole war, if at all the heart muscle is not able to get that much amount of blood supply, the heart muscle might die, and then the situation of heart failure might come up. So heart attack and heart failure is completely different.
Right, Dr. Sahni, a very important differentiation, and I really appreciate the way you have simplified the understanding for us. Dr. Sahni, when we talk about heart failure and the reduction in pumping capacity, does this vary with age? That means a person in his 40s versus a person in his 70s or a person in his 80s, will there be a difference in the pumping capacity of their hearts?
Okay. So, yes, you are absolutely right that this directly relates to the age, no doubt about it. But if we understand it right way, it's not only the age which decides what kind of damage or what level of damage would be created on the heart muscle, but it, along with age, there are several other factors. That is the gravity of the heart attack, the earlier situation of the heart, what number of heart attack is this, how many insults on the heart have already been occurred in the past, some other comorbidities like diabetes or blood pressure or obesity. There could be several other factors which are going to determine whether this heart failure because of this heart attack, how severe is it going to be, and the ejection fraction due to that heart attack, how much is it going to drop down, or is it going to stay towards back towards normal. These factors are, there are several factors which could decide this fate of this heart attack. So I would never say that it's only age, but in many of these cases, it has been also observed that if at all a a patient, a person of early age group, again, early age group, I would call it about 30s till 50s, if at all this person suffers a heart attack, there are chances that the damage on this heart muscle would be much more severe as compared to an age-old or elderly person. So, over here, what you need to understand is, if at all an early age group individual suffers a heart attack, there are very less number of collateral blood supply to these heart muscles, due to which the heart muscle is not able to recover from the heart attack. The same way, in an elderly age group, the number of collaterals that the heart already has because of elderly age group, the collateral blood vessels already the heart which it has, because of these collaterals, the damage that happens on the heart muscle due to the heart attack is not as severe as that of the early age group. Hence, many a times in several cases, it has been observed that in an elderly age group individual, if at all he suffers a heart attack, the damage on the myocardium is a bit lesser as compared to the early age heart attack group. So, heart attack in India, now we have been watching the trend that the heart attacks in India happens far more earlier as compared to the Western countries. So, it's obviously the lifestyle which we are supposed to work on to prevent the heart attack, to prevent the damage on the heart, and to prevent the early happening heart failure.
Okay. So, Dr. Sane, when we are looking at heart failure, another very common question and one very common doubt that the people have is, can you actually recover from heart failure? Is it treatable?
Yes, I would say yes, no doubt about it. It is treatable. You can surely recover out of it. You need to follow certain restrictions. You need to follow certain typical lifestyle by which you will be able to recover from this heart failure. It's not completely impossible. Now, heart failure, there could be two major types of heart failure. One is going to be the acute kind of heart failure. Second is going to be the chronic kind of heart failure. Acute heart failure, obviously you will need some kind of hospitalization, you will need some kind of medical help to recover from this acute phase and enter into the subacute or else in the chronic phase. Now, once you are in the chronic heart failure phase, where the patients usually complain of being breathless while walking, while climbing up the stairs, they have to wait, they have to take a pause for about 2-5 minutes and then again continue their work. These could be smaller symptoms of a heart failure patient. And the bigger symptoms of heart failure patient could be the patient would be presenting with swelling on his legs, swelling on his face, the whole body might be swollen, the patient might feel nauseatic. Early fatigue kind of things would happen in this case of with this individual. Many a times the appetite becomes low. The interest that the patient has on having food reduces down. So there could be several other risk factors that usually come up with this heart failure. And whether it is recoverable? Yes, it is recoverable. There are a few principles that you got to follow in case of heart failure. Like few principles that are very easy to explain as of now is, first of all, is reduce down the total calorie intake of food or else the drinks, whatever you consume. The calorie intake has to reduce down drastically. That is the first way that we are supposed to go ahead to consider this heart failure to be recoverable. That is the first point. Second point that you got to keep an eye on is going to be the fluid intake. The fluid intake of this individual who has already suffered heart failure, the fluid intake should be restricted below 1.5 liter. And in case of severe kind of heart failure, the fluid 1 liter also in, so that can be decided with the help of medical help, that what kind of calorie restriction, what kind of fluid restriction has to be over there. That is the most important thing. The third most important thing is many a times the patient feels breathless while lying down in supine position. In that case, the patient can be kept in propped up position and that can be managed very well. But the most important role comes in with the kind of medications. Now there are several medications available to convert this heart failure into a normal person, and these medications could be either allopathic or could be Ayurvedic also. So there are several medications, there are several therapies which are available in which a heart failure patient can recover from their original condition back towards normal and live a very good productive life in the future, keeping this lifestyle in control for a good amount of time.
Okay. Dr. Sahni, with this, one thing that is clear is that yes, if heart failure symptoms have set in, there is hope with proper lifestyle changes. You mentioned fluid intake reduction to 1.5 to 1 liter, because normally we have heard people, you know, take 3 liters in a day. So you have mentioned cutting it down to 1 to 1.5 liter. That's a big change in the thought process of what we normally hear. What are the other lifestyle changes that one should do, not only to manage heart failure but also to prevent heart failure?
Okay. So idea about the other lifestyle techniques that we need to follow is, first of all those kinds of addictions, like for example the tobacco smoking, chewing tobacco, or else cigarette smoking, all these things are going to worsen the heart failure. That is one. Second, keeping your lungs clean, keeping your lungs healthy is going to help you to keep your heart failure away from yourself. The easiest technique to keep your lungs cool and lungs calm and lungs happy is going to be pranayama. The breathing exercises, the breathing techniques that you follow, maybe 3-4 times in a day, you could practice pranayama kind of breathing exercises to keep your lungs healthy. Along with that, keeping yourself away from all those intoxicants. Many a times there are n number of pollutants in the air where we stay. If at all you can move on to a place where you have very open air and clean air, in that case also keeping your lungs healthy is going to be one of the most strongest point where you can keep yourself away from heart failure. As well, many a times the liver and kidneys are the most important organs which is going to be a helping hand for the heart. So keeping these organs healthy is going to be very good. Normally, people usually have those effervescent drinks which increase the amount of acid production in the body, as well as the non-vegetarian food that we consume, which is high in protein, that also creates more amount of acid in the body, which is again an extra load for the kidneys and the liver to process. So if at all these patients could shift on to some kind of alkaline diet, that also will help the individual to keep himself fit and fine. So these are few lifestyle tricks, lifestyle hacks that every person can follow to keep his heart healthy, as well as a heart failure patient should surely follow to keep his heart clean and calm for the coming years, to be healthy for the next at least 5 to 10 years.
Fantastic, Dr. Sahni. Dr. Sahni, the next question that commonly comes is, we see that today's lifestyle is quite erratic, especially if you look at the urban and semi-urban areas. It's very chaotic, stressful, there are no timelines, dietary habits have changed, obesity is increased quite a lot. Now, even the American Heart Association, the Indian Heart Association, or even the World Heart Association is talking about the fact that there is a very high priority needs to be given towards changing the lifestyle and physical activity, mental activity, etc. Now, given all of these things that are present in the people, in the lives of people, how would they understand that something is going wrong right now? Because in their routine life, we don't really tend to pay that much attention. So what, according to you, they should keep a lookout for and start thinking okay. that these are warning signs your body is giving.
Okay. So there are two major ways that you can keep a track on all these things. One is going to be analyzing yourself with the symptoms that normally come in, and people normally recognize their symptoms. Many a times, even though they recognize, they don't want to look at those symptoms with that kind of seriousness. But yes, symptoms, the body normally starts giving you symptoms very, very early. So that is one way that you can have a track on these kind of disease progression. The second way is going to be investigations that could be required maybe hardly once a year or something like that. If at all you can get it done, that is still more better. Now, if you talk about the investigations first, there could be certain blood investigations that you can do. It could be a normal lipid profile that can be helpful for an individual to understand the strength and the health of the blood vessels as well as the heart. That could be one. There could be several other investigations like the liver profile, which will also give you an idea whether your liver is functioning well or not, because liver function is again going to be a very important part in this heart health. So that is going to be the second one. Along with that, the kidney function test is also going to be important, because if the kidneys help the heart in the right manner, they'll be able to help the heart in a very good way, and heart failure can be prevented in that case also. Third thing, most important, is going to be stress test. So if you conduct a stress test for yourself, like for example, in that stress test, you are supposed to walk for about 9 to 15 minutes on the basis of what protocol you are following. Just you're just supposed to walk for those 9 to 15 minutes with the ECG leads on your heart, and based on that we could identify whether your heart is functioning well or not. In this stress test, you will identify a parameter called as MET value, the metabolic equivalence. So this MET value or VO2 max, both can be used interchangeably with a different formula based on what you normally want to achieve. So based on that, if at all we talk about MET value, if at all you have a MET value beyond 9.5 MET on the stress test, you have a strong heart. If at all the MET value below 7, that means your heart needs certain kind of attention. And if your MET value is found to be below 5, your heart needs immediate attention. So if you get a stress test done and talk to your cardiologist, talk to your Ayurvedic physician, talk to your preventive cardiologist about this MET value and understand the significance, it is going to be much more easier for you to take care of your heart. So first point is about investigations. Now, along with this, there could be a certain level of superlative investigations. Like in blood investigations, you can have a parameter called as NT-proBNP, the non-terminal BNP is the brain natriuretic peptide, and that has been secreted by the heart muscles. So if at all a heart is not as strong as what is expected, this hormone, the BNP hormone, is going to get secreted by the heart muscles. And if at all the number of these hormones getting secreted in the blood becomes beyond 200 in early age group, then that's a concern. So that parameter also can help you to understand whether heart failure is expected in your body or not. That is one. And the second thing, investigation, you can just get a 2D echo done, which you can identify what is the ejection fraction, what is the status of blood supply reaching to the heart muscles, and what is the amount of blood fluid volumes inside the heart. So there are several other investigations also which can help you to understand, but these are the basic things that you can understand whether your heart is healthy or not. That is one. Talking about the symptoms, the symptom of heart failure could be very, very mild. It could be very, very severe also. Like last 5-10 minutes that I'm talking about breathlessness, many a times people disrespect their to such an extent that they don't give that much amount of importance to the symptom recognition. Many a times patients or people, normally when we see normally them climbing up staircase of a building, or else maybe their office staircase, maybe a railway bridge that they usually travel with. So these places you can identify whether you feel breathless or not. Now, what kind of breathless is going to be important? Consider if you walk up this staircase and feel breathless, so that you are supposed to stop and gasp for breath then that is going to be a consideration where you'll be able to identify whether this point of breathlessness, if at all it doesn't recover within a minute or so or lesser than that, then in that case you are approaching towards this scenario called as heart failure sooner or later. The more is your cardiac efficiency, the more is your effort tolerance while exercises, you are absolutely good, then you are far away from this heart failure. So if at all symptoms and investigations can be clubbed together, the diagnosis of heart failure can be much more easier.
Fantastic, Dr. Sane. Dr. Sane, before we go, two things I wanted to ask you. At Madhabagh, under your treatment protocols, how does Madhabagh manage or treat heart failure patients?
Okay, Madhabagh has a specific protocol of treating heart failure. There are three typical things when we are supposed to look at improving a patient from heart failure. The first one is going to be the Ayurvedic Panchkarma procedures, which are going to be a noteworthy thing for improving a patient from the heart failure. So in Ayurveda, it's a procedure called as Sampurna Hriday Shuddhikaran, which is supposed to be performed on these heart failure patients. In modern techniques, it would be called as a heart failure reversal therapy. And this technique can be actually noteworthy for these heart failure patients to improve their force of contraction of the heart, as well as reduce down the peripheral resistance in their body, in the blood vessels. And this will help the heart to energize itself and manage the fluid inside very well. So that is one, is about the Panchkarma procedures that Madhabagh protocol talks about. So that is one. Along with that, it's going to be the diet and the fluid restriction, which is going to be very, very important. So the typical calorie chart that we prepare for the patient, as well as the diet kits that we prepare for the patient. So these diet kits are 30-day meal plan for the patient itself, wherein all the food material is been given by Madhabagh itself to the patient. The patient doesn't have to go hunting for anything. They just have to follow that diet kit for the whole month. Maybe about 2 months or 3 months would be required for the patient to get back to its normal functioning of his heart. And if at all this happens with the diet, the game ahead becomes very, very easier. The third thing most important is going to be exercises. Now, based on the MET value of this patient's heart strength, or else based on the ejection fraction of this patient's heart, the exercise is been planned accordingly. It could vary from yoga and pranayam to muscle strengthening exercises, which is again going to benefit the heart by reducing down the peripheral resistance and improving the muscle endurance, so that the MET value or else the effort tolerance of the patient also improves. So along with these three things, the most important thing is going to be the Ayurvedic herbal medicines, which are free from toxic materials, which are free from the heavy metals. And these herbal medicines are very clearly proven with animal trials as well as with clinical trials that these are safe and they are effective in improving the heart, rejuvenating capacity of the heart, as well as the improvement in the functioning of the heart by improving the ejection fraction also. So there are several other techniques which Ayurveda can utilize, like lifestyle modification. There could be other improvement techniques which can be utilized, other procedures which can be utilized by Ayurveda. But I see that Ayurveda has a very good command on improving a heart failure patient through Madhabagh.
Fantastic, Dr. Sane. Very insightful discussions around heart failure with you, Dr. Sane. Thank you so much. And as we always, you know, when we end this, what are your top tips to our listeners so that they don't fall prey to heart failure?
Okay. Two tips that I would like to give to improve heart failure. The first one is going to be exercise every day. Every morning has to begin with exercises, and while you exercise, enjoy your exercise. Don't exercise beyond your traditional limits. Don't exercise below your traditional exercise limits. Always try to challenge yourself while exercising, but to a certain extent where you will enjoy exercising. So that is the first tip about exercises. And the second tip is keep your diet well in control. the diet means everything. The calories that you consume, the fluids that you consume, as well as the toxic materials that you consume. So if you continue having all these things in control, I am sure that your heart as well as all the systems of your body would be fit and fine. And with the combination of exercise and diet with together, I am sure you won't need a doctor anytime in your life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sane. Thank you for giving your valuable time to us for this episode. It's been a pleasure listening to you on discussing about this topic. And my dear friends, as you all know, let me remind you once again, Dr. Sane has a community on Facebook. You can join this Facebook group. That is, you can scan the QR code on the screen and join this Facebook group. Also, you can find us on all the platforms. Dr. Sane's podcast is available on all the global platforms that you can think, and international platforms also, including YouTube. So with this, I, Dr. Aman Kapoor, thank you so much for all of you for joining in, tuning into this episode. Thank you, Dr. Sane, for your wonderful guidance. And as always, everyone, stay healthy, stay fit and fine. Bye-bye.